I have a two-part sermon today. I'm going to preach half of it this morning and half of it tonight. This morning, I'm going to preach on the subject, what forgiveness does. And tonight, I'm going to preach on the subject, what forgiveness does not do. And there's wonderful truths in both parts of them. And so, you're here this morning. I hope you will listen. And I realize that people always have the choice, even when they're here, to listen or not. And so I would encourage you to listen this morning, and then I would encourage you to come back tonight to hear part two of this message. Psalm 51 was written by David. It was written by David after his sin with Bathsheba. Of course, we know the story. He was at a place where he should not have been, at a time that he should not have been, looking at something that he should not have looked at, ended up committing adultery with this lady that he saw from his porch. And Psalm 51 was written after he tried to cover up his sin. He committed the sin of adultery. He then committed the sin of murder as he had Bathsheba's husband Uriah murdered. And he thought he'd succeeded. He thought nobody would know that he had committed this sin. And again, we may think the same thing. We can hide our sin from people that are closest to us. We can hide our sin from our parents, and we can hide our sins from our spouses, and we can hide our sins from our children. But we can't hide our sins from God. The Bible says, "Be sure your sin will find you out." And God knows every sin that we've committed. And so Psalm 51 was written by David asking for God's forgiveness. Now, we read the first three verses, and David asked for some things. He asked in verse 1, blot out all my transgressions. He asked in verse 2, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Now, we didn't read the rest of it, but let me just read some of the other verses. He prayed and wrote in verse 7, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Verse 9, hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God. Verse 12, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And so David was asking for forgiveness. He was asking for God. He knew he committed a terrible sin. And he was asking for God to forgive him. And as God does oftentimes, God forgave David. He did exactly what David asked for, and he went beyond what David asked for. He did some wonderful things for David in forgiving him of this sin. And that's what God's forgiveness does. God's forgiveness does some wonderful things, and this morning I want to mention seven of them to you. I have 7 points this morning. I have 4 points tonight. So if you come both time, you're going to get 11 points. Usually I only have 3. So you're getting like 4 sermons for the price of 2 today. In fact, you here this morning are getting 2 1/3 sermon for the price of 1. So listen, forgiveness does some wonderful things. Let me mention some of them to you. Number 1, forgiveness, the forgiveness of God takes care of my eternal punishment. In John chapter 5, verse 24, the Bible says this, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and listen to this, and shall not come into condemnation, judgment, but is passed from death unto life. Amen. We're all sinners. Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. The Bible says the wages of sin, what we deserve because we're sinners, is death. Not physical death, but spiritual death. Being separated from God. That's what I've earned as a sinner. That's what I deserve as a sinner, to be under the judgment of God. And every sinner that doesn't get their sins taken care of, every sinner one day will stand before God in judgment of their sin. They will stand before a holy, righteous judge, God, and every sin will be called up, every sin will be rehearsed, every sin will come before them, and they will be judged by God for that sin. But I got some good news for you. I read it in the book of Revelation. I won't be there. And if you're saved, you won't be there, because the forgiveness of God takes care of my eternal punishment. Forgiveness means I will never stand before God and be judged for my sin. His forgiveness means for you that you will never stand before God and be judged for your sin. That Jesus took care of all of that when he hung on Calvary. The Bible says when God's only begotten Son hung on that old rugged cross, that God took every one of my sins and every one of your sins, my sin not in part but in whole, and he put it on Jesus Christ and judged Christ for every sin of every man. And if we accept Jesus as our Savior, we get the forgiveness of God and we don't have to stand before him and be judged for our sin. Now, I don't know about you, I can get excited about that. I mean, I get excited when I get, you know, one of those cars with those flashing lights on top of it pull up behind me, and a policeman comes up and says, "Let me have your license and your registration." I said, "Why?" He said, "You don't know what you were doing?" I said, "I have no idea." He says, "You were speeding." Amen. And I says, "Me?" Yes. So he takes my license and he goes back and he gets on the radio and does what, I don't know what he does. Sometimes he comes back and says, "Mr. Manning, I'm letting you off with a warning today. I want to get out of the car. I want to jump up and down. I want to shout. I want to praise God." Doesn't happen all the time. Happens every now and then. I'm not going to tell you how often. But if I can get excited about a man letting me off, can you imagine how excited we should get when God says, "Hey, you won't have to stand and be judged for your sin. You accepted what my Son did for you on Calvary, and that takes care of the judgment that you have to face for being a sinner. It's all paid for. It's all taken care of." And we ought to rejoice as a Christian that God's forgiveness will cause us not to stand before that throne of judgment and be judged for our sins. But it does something else. It does something else. Not only does it take care of my eternal judgment, the Bible says that His forgiveness removes my sin from God's record in heaven. David prayed. We read it there in verse 1. He says, "Blot out, Lord, blot out all my transgressions." What he was praying, he says, "God, in the record that you keep in heaven of me and of my sins, would you go to that record and would you just blot out every sin that's on there?" And that's exactly what the forgiveness of God does for us. Peter was preaching in Acts chapter 3. He was preaching on the day of Pentecost. And he said this, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." When I accept Jesus Christ as my Savior and I get the forgiveness of God in my life, here's what happens in the courts of heaven. God turned to the M's. He looks up Daryl Manning. He looks at that long list of sin that had been recorded in heaven, that long list of sin that was on my record. And God takes his blotter, God takes his eraser, however you want to say it, and God erases every one of those sins from my record. Now, let me just go a little bit deeper. You know, sometimes when you have written something on a piece of paper with a pencil and you take an eraser and you erase what you've written, sometimes there'll be a smudge left. Sometimes there'll be an indentation in the paper where the pencil applied pressure to the paper. And even though what has been erased you cannot see anymore, there's still a remainder of what was there. You know what? When God erases my sin from his record in heaven, there is not a smudge. There's not one piece of a line that's left. There's not an indentation that is left. When he blots out my sin from his record, that page is pure and clean like it had never been written on. That's what the forgiveness of God does to my record in heaven. It blots out all my sin. Man, this is good. This is good. It gets better because the forgiveness of sin after I get saved prevents any more sins from being recorded on God's record. The Bible says in Psalm 32, verse 2, blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth, that means does not charge his account, blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. What that verse says is once I get saved and once I get the forgiveness of God on my life, that God will never write another sin on my record in heaven. You say, preacher, does that mean you'll never sin again? No. Speeding is a sin. Amen. Sometimes I speed. I wouldn't admit that, except some of you have seen me speeding, so I might as well admit it. You're blabbermouth to tell everybody. I saw the preacher. He must have been going 100 miles an hour the other day. So I might as well admit it. Yeah, I sin. But the Bible says, once I have the forgiveness of God in my life, that he'll never, ever, never, ever write another sin on my record in heaven. And so he's not only wiped them all off, it means when I fail, when I stumble, when I do something I shouldn't, or when I don't do something that I should, God does not record it on my record. He puts it on the record of his son who died for every sin that you and I have committed, paid the price for every sin you and I have committed, and there'll be no more recorded on our record. Glory to God. Amen. How much better can it get? It gets better. It gets better. Because not only does his forgiveness keep me from eternal judgment, not only does his forgiveness wipe every sin off my record, not only does his forgiveness keep any sin from being recorded on my record, the forgiveness of God takes Christ's record and puts it under my name. Amen. Just picture with me the courts of heaven. There's a ledger book. There's a piece of paper with my name on it. And under my name, before I got saved, is every sin that I committed. Every time I lost my temper. Every time I told an untruth. Every time I took something that wasn't mine. Every time I said something that I shouldn't have said. Every time I didn't say something that I should have said. The list could go on. It's a long list. You have a sinner for a preacher. I mean, you might as well know it. But here's what God does. He takes that list. He blots out every sin. He will never write another sin on that list, but he does something else. He takes the record that exists in heaven for his son, Jesus Christ. Now, just think about the record of Christ. What would be listed under his record? Love, mercy, grace, forgiveness, gentleness, patience. And again, I could take the rest of the time I have and more. I could take the rest of the day. I could talk to you about the Lord Jesus Christ. I could talk to you about how good and perfect he was. And God has his record in heaven. Here's what forgiveness does. His forgiveness wipes out my record, blots it out. It causes no more sin to be recorded. And it takes the record of Jesus Christ, God's perfect, sinless son, and puts it under my name. Amen. I am dressed before God in his righteousness. Not my right. I don't have any righteousness. All my righteousnesses, the Bible says, is as filthy rags. But the righteousness of Jesus Christ is righteousness in its purest form. And the forgiveness of God takes the righteous record of Jesus Christ and puts that under my name and puts that under your name if you have received Jesus Christ as your Savior. Amen. It just keeps getting better and better and better. And so forgiveness justifies us. It makes us just as if we've never sinned. In Romans chapter 5, verse 1, the Bible says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." That means as I stand before God this morning, you as Christians that stand before God this morning, when God looks at us, he doesn't see the sin that we've committed in the past. He doesn't see the sin that we're going to commit today. He doesn't see the sin that he knows we're going to commit in the future. All those have been wiped out. All those have been blotted out. No more will be recorded on our record. When he looks at our record, he sees the righteousness, the eternal righteousness of his Son. And I stand before God justified. Just as if I've never sinned. It gets better. Number six. His forgiveness separates me from my sin. In Psalm 103, verse 12, the Bible says, "As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgression from us." You ever stop to think how far the east is from the west? Do you know that you can keep going east and east and east and east and east, and you'll never run into west? Never will. You can turn around and go west, and you can go west and west and west and west, and you'll never run into east. There's an immeasurable distance between east and west. And God says, "I'm going to take your sin, and I'm going to remove it from you as far as the east is from the west." He also says in another place in the Bible, "I'm going to take your sins and I'm going to cast them into the deepest part of the sea." Debbie and I got to go to Hawaii one time, and she says, "I want to ride a submarine." I said, "Why do you want to do it?" She said, "I just want to ride a submarine." I said, "Okay." And so we went down in a submarine, and we got down really, really deep, and the submarine stopped. I said, "This is just my luck. I got in this tin can, it's run out of gas." The captain of the submarine came on the speaker, and he says, "Ladies and gentlemen, I just want to let you know, we're at the deepest part of the ocean. There's no deeper part of the ocean than this right here." And I thought about that verse. He cast our sin to the deepest part of the sea. We had portholes that we could look out. They had lights that, you know, shone off from the submarine. And I saw this big mountain that was at the deepest part of the sea. And I elbowed my wife and I said, "There's your sin." She says, "Where's yours?" I said, "You see that little bitty mountain?" She said, "No, I think you got it backwards. That one's yours, that one's mine." God separates us from our sin. Amen. He buries them in the deepest part of the sea. He removes them from us as far as the east is from the west. That's what the forgiveness of God does. And then here's the last thing. The forgiveness of God causes God to forget my sin. Now, I've mentioned this before in other sermons. I've had people come up to me and say, "How can God be God and forget something? If he's God, he can never forget anything." And I always reply, he forgets it because he chooses to forget. Amen. God wants to forget something, he can forget something. David, an adulterer, a murderer, he writes Psalm 51. He repents and asks for God's forgiveness. In Acts 13:32, God calls David a man after my own heart. Now, how can an adulterer and a murderer be called a man after God's own heart? Because God had forgiven David of his sin and forgotten it. Abraham left the will of God. He didn't trust God. He went down into Egypt. He picked up a little maid named Hagar, had an illegitimate child. And yet James 2:23 calls Abraham a friend of God. How could somebody that stepped outside the bond of marriage and had a legitimate child be called a friend of God? Because Abraham repented, got the forgiveness of God, and God forgot his sin. Noah got drunk, lay naked in his tent. One of his sons came in. And yet, in 2 Peter 2:5, Noah was called a preacher of righteousness. How could God call this drunk who shamed one of his sons and ended up having one of his sons cursed because he saw his nakedness be called a preacher of righteousness? Because Noah repented and asked for God's forgiveness, and God forgot his sin. Moses committed a sin so big that even though he labored for 40 years leading God's people through the wilderness, God says, you can't go into the promised land. And yet, a few years later, God said, Moses, my servant, is dead. God had forgotten Moses' sin. And so this morning, I hope you will rejoice with me for what the forgiveness of God does. It takes care of our eternal punishment. It removes our sin from God's record. It prevents any more sin from being written on that record. It puts Christ's righteousness on our records. It justifies us. It separates us from our sin. And it causes God to forget our sin. Forgiveness of God does all that, and I'm sure even more. Don't have time to talk about the more this morning, but I'm so glad that it does all that. And we get that forgiveness when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ. I know most of us here this morning are probably Christians, but there's also probably some here this morning that you're still under the eternal condemnation of sin because you've never come to Jesus Christ and received him as your Savior. I beg you, don't walk away from this forgiveness. You'll never get right with God any other way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. You're a sinner. You need a Savior. And the only one that will work is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so if you're here this morning and you've never received him, I invite you to come in just a few minutes when we have an invitation. I'll have somebody take the Bible and show you from the Bible how to ask Jesus to be your Savior. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the preciousness of it. Thank you for what forgiveness does for every person who has received Christ. I pray that those of us that have would rejoice this morning for everything we've received in our Savior. I pray for those that have never received him. Help them to come this morning. Help them to make that decision for Jesus, to come and receive him, receive what he did for them on Calvary, and get the forgiveness that comes with it. Just bless this time of invitation, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.